are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Oh, okay. And what are you graduating to be, or did you graduate already?
I have my undergrad. I graduated with my undergrad in 2013. I had a degree in English and a minor in psychology. I'm actually graduating this semester from the University of Central Florida, UCF, from the Rosen College of Hospitality Management with my degree in hospitality management.
And that means, what does that exactly mean to some dummy like me?
Basically, I went to UCF's Hospitality Management School, which is the Rosen College of Hospitality Management, and it's just a degree for working in the hospitality field. Being based in Orlando, I've worked for quite a few companies here in Orlando that specialize in hospitality, and I'm looking to hopefully get into that field, whether it's through management, whether it's through hoteling or hoteliering or anything of that sort.
Oh, okay. So it's not like becoming a chef or something like that. You're looking more like management type stuff.
Yes, sir.
I see. Interesting. And are you, do you miss New York at all or New Jersey?
Yeah, of course. I definitely miss family. I'm the only one from my family that's out of the state or even out of an hour drive from where my family is. So I definitely miss family and home. I do miss that people from New Jersey and New York are a bit different than people down here in the South in just terms of mannerisms and just how people carry themselves. Yeah. Not necessarily a bad thing, but I just kind of miss that grit that New York and New Jersey has, that kind of just that atmosphere I do miss, definitely. So when I'm home, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been to New York quite a few times in that area. And just kind of where you go, different places, they just have a different vibe. We have people that live up in the mountains, and the mountain people are different, you know, just a different, you know, it's just that, and that's good. It shouldn't always be the same everywhere you go, I don't think, you know. Is it more laid back in Florida because it's by the coast? Is it more laid back? Because I know in L.A., out here in the West, it's like that.
Yeah, I would say I'd say definitely people in the South are a bit more laid back. I definitely think the vibe here is a bit slower in terms of like just, you know, going with the flow. There's not really a lot of hustle bustle. Like if you get into downtown Orlando, there's the hustle bustle, but it's not like New York City. It's not the same energy, but it's definitely a nicer pace of a life. Definitely. Yeah.
So here, somebody who's a Californian and, you know, I listened to the news. Why the hell would you want to live in Florida with all the damn hurricanes and whirlwinds? And why the hell would you want to do that? Now, maybe I don't know the whole story, but I don't get it.
Okay. Well, are we still testing audio or is this part of the interview? I'm just making sure.
Oh, we're on, baby.
Oh, we're on. All right. Hey.
Let it fly. We're on.
We're just shooting the breeze. I'm like, is there an official start now?
No, we're on, baby.
I love it. Why Florida? Well, I had my grandparents grew up or lived in South Florida. So I remember coming here as a kid, absolutely loving it. I really enjoyed the warm weather. I enjoyed being, you know, away from family. That's one of the main reasons why I decided to go to school in Florida, was because not only was it a good opportunity for me, but I also felt like it was time for me to, like, you know, explore a different part of the country, to explore kind of being on my own. I'm the youngest of three, so I'm the baby of the family. So I was really excited to spread my wings a little bit and try another part of the country. I like Florida. The hurricanes don't really bother me that much, especially now that I've been through a couple of them. I haven't been through any like serious ones, thank goodness, but I definitely have grown to understand when hurricane season hits, all right, get your water. They don't really freak out too much here in Florida.
It doesn't seem like. I'm freaking out in California. What should you guys not freak out?
One of my neighbors said to me that they don't really bother until it's a Cat 3.
No kidding.
Yeah, Categories 1 and 2 are just very bad rainstorms. And I've experienced Hurricane Irma was like a 1 or a 2, and I stayed at my resort where I worked during the ride-out portion of the hurricane. Matthew was just a very bad rainstorm, but we never got hit by like a Will. Like I wasn't here for Hurricane Wilma or Charlie or Ivan or any of the big ones in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Is there, I haven't experienced that yet.
Is there a part of Florida that's more susceptible to the hurricanes? Like is there like a pathway or something they kind of travel through?
Hurricanes are very unpredictable, but I feel like I live inland. I live in Central Florida in the Orlando area. So we're a good 45, 50 miles away from the coast. So I think we're a little bit better unless the hurricane comes up and goes the other way and goes towards Tampa and hits us that way. But typically they're on the eastern coast. I'm not a meteorologist, but I would definitely think like Miami, Fort Lauderdale, the communities closer to the water, Daytona, like all the on the eastern seaboard, those are the ones that are more in danger.
Okay. All right. You got me all trained up now. I understand a little bit more. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
I like learning stuff when I talk to people. So we're off to a great start here, Mike. I do notice on the bio that you sent, and I did meet you in Las Vegas, correct?
Yes.
Yes, with Andrew. Yes.
Just about a year ago.
I remember that. So I know that you dropped a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. And my first question to you is this, because I think there's a time for all of us when we're fighting maybe an issue. It could be weight loss or just anything, you know, that's a sort of a challenge. First of all, how heavy were you at your highest weight? Was it 300 pounds?
I was very close to 300. My highest weight was December of 2018 when I was about 297. That was my highest.
Okay. So tell me, how did you get to that point?
I ate a lot. No, just kidding. Well,
Being overweight run in your family? Or something that was an issue with you? I mean, how did that, were you just kind of raised like that?
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Definitely. And I actually thought about that before the interview. So my entire family, my mother, my father, my older brother, and my older sister, all at one point in our lives were overweight or obese. So it does run in the family for me. I had always been a heavy child. I think I was heavy around maybe ages 9, 10 is when I started to get kind of chunky. Growing up, it's a hard struggle because I feel like a lot of kids are not nice people. No. I think we sometimes the harshest critics are kids, and they have no filter. They just say what they say and mean what they mean.
Yeah.
I was bullied quite a bit in my elementary, middle, and high school experiences, and that just caused me to even gain more weight because I used food as a comfort, and that kind of carried me through the beginning part of adulthood, is that I used food as a coping mechanism and not using food as a fuel source. Struggling with a lot of inner demons. I struggled with sexuality. I struggled with finding myself. I struggled with a lot of things growing up to where everything was made better with food. Everything was made better with food. And that was pretty much my thing up until 24, 25. The big thing for me that kind of accelerated, I worked overnights at a hotel in like 2015, 2016. I worked overnights and I wasn't used to that at all. Within the first few weeks of that job, my best friend died. She died of an overdose, and that really affected me to the point where I really stopped caring about even my own personal health. And I gained probably close to 40, 50, 60 pounds in about 3 years to where I reached that high point. So I really gave up, and it was very dark, very, very disturbing almost in a way for me about my eating habits. I frankly did not care. And a lot of people from what I've reached out to people when I've done my journey, a lot of people have felt the same way. And it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And we need to do something about it, especially in this country.
Yeah. We're going to do a little pause because we have something fall off, which is okay. We'll just pick back up.
I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. We'll take a commercial break.
We'll be right back.
Short one. We'll be right back. I think this one falls off every other time we do a podcast.
Don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
We can send a man to the moon, but can't make that damn thing stick. What the fuck? Okay. And you're messing my hair up. God dang it. Are we back on again? I'll do a three count, okay?
Okay, got it.
Okay. Oh, shit. What the hell are we talking about?
My traumatic childhood.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, and we're back. Okay, so again, we're talking about your childhood. And, you know, I was actually very heavy when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. I look back at photos and I was just a chunky dude. But after 5 years old, I don't know. I don't know if my mom put me on a diet. I have no idea, but I leaned out. And so that wasn't an issue for me. But it's really interesting, you know, when something that's following you for so long, like it did with you. I know that you said that food's a comfort food, and I use food as a comfort food as well. But it's just that it doesn't consume me, obviously, in that way. But did that isolate you as far as was it just you and food? I mean, was it hard to, did you have friends? I mean, because I almost sense that you probably were isolated, which would have added to the misery, I guess.
Definitely. So number one, absolutely with that. My parents tried for me to lose weight. I mean, we went to doctors. I went to a heart doctor when I was like 12, 13 years old. And I had already the beginnings of like high blood pressure at like 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
I actually switched schools when I was a kid. I moved to a private school in seventh grade because my parents and my siblings were just worried that the public schools that I was in New Jersey weren't going to help me succeed in later life, and that it was getting to a point where I was going to get bullied even more in middle and high school. So that move in seventh grade to a private school in a different city and not really knowing that many people, and again, being the heavyset kid and the kid that was so used to being bullied, it isolated me even further because I tried so hard to be friendly. People used it as a weapon against me because I was naive, chubby kid that came out of nowhere from public school. And it was absolutely isolating. And then that compounded up until like I was 18 or 19. When I moved off to college, I finally discovered like what friendship actually was. So it definitely growing up, it was an isolating experience. And then, like I said, food was a comfort. Like food never judged me. Food never said anything bad about me. And how sad is that though? It's like, and a lot of people feel that way. And my heart breaks for people like that.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't see food like that, but a lot of people do.
Did you ever, you know, we all have dark days. I think we, as human beings, we all go through some dark days. I think that's just part of life.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you know, yours is that, and I've had my dark days, but I want to ask you a serious question.
Sure.
Did you ever think about suicide or any of those kinds of feelings when you were in that dark moment?
Absolutely.
That's scary.
That's very scary. And I don't really talk publicly about it too much, but I always believe that my story can help other people.
Yes.
Definitely the whole, I think one big thing was that I was figuring out my sexuality. I was figuring out that I'm openly gay and that I'm, you know, I'm a much different person than a lot of other people. And figuring that out kind of was a dark point. I never attempted it, suicide. I want to make that very clear because I'm sure people will reach out. I never physically considered it, but I definitely had those moments of like, maybe I'm better off with not being here. And I had feelings of that in 2018. And then that point was the moment where I was like I was like on a cliff almost.
Yeah.
Someone just grabbed the back of my shirt and threw me back and said, no, we're not doing that. That moment I was like, whoa, that's a little too far.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I had that moment of like, this is just a little too far.
Right. Well, so, you're lucky that happened to you. You know, I mean, I had, you know, it was nothing. I didn't go through what you did, but I mean, you know, going through some bad divorce, and it just seemed like at one point in my life, I don't know how it felt for you, but it just seemed like I was like in this corner, just getting pelted, you know, couldn't catch a break. And I'm not saying that part of what wasn't my own fault, but nevertheless, I couldn't get out of it. It was like, I was stuck. It was so weird. And I do remember thinking about that. I thought, you know, mine was like, I remember a couple times driving my car and I thought, what if I just keep driving off, you know, and drive off a cliff? I mean, and I thought to myself, oh my God. I mean, I didn't really think that I would ever do that, but just the fact that I thought about that was frightening, really, you know?
Absolutely.
And here's the thing, which was why I was leading up to this, because at some point, you know, you were that person that, you know, you got pulled off that cliff. But that was your crossroads, that you made a decision, and correct me if I'm wrong, you made a decision not to let your condition destroy you, but define you. Is that a fair statement?
Definitely. I think that turning point and then having a great, I would always stress that having a great doctor, yeah. My wonderful Dr. Dawn, or nurse practitioner Dawn, over in Orlando at Orlando Health, was one of the best people to really help me with, because I made an appointment during that time and we kind of went over everything, and that was a catalyst of, I need help.
Yeah.
I really need help. And yeah. I think, I'm not sure where the next segment's going towards, but that's where I started going and finding, and I found the world of cosplay.
Okay. The world of what? Say that again?
Cosplay. C-O-S-P-L-A-Y. It's people that dress up, like what Andrew Litomsky and I do, the Thor and Captain America, like all that stuff. People that dress up as superheroes.
Gotcha.
For the comic conventions. Yeah, that's called cosplay.
Okay, so then that was what, was it a fascination, or how did that actually... How did you go to that point right there? And you were still, at this point, you were still heavy? Is mm-hmm. that correct?
Yep.
So how is it that you fell into that area?
So I was one day just looking on the internet, just browsing, doing my thing. And I saw that the new Shazam movie had promotional pictures coming out with Zachary Levi. And I saw the Shazam trailer and I thought he looked so cool in that suit and he looked so badass. And I was like, wow, that would be great one day to be like that. And I look like, you know, tub of goo. And I was like, well, you know, maybe that this is like an inspiration or something. So I stumbled upon Instagram. I didn't really use Instagram before 2018. I had an Instagram with like maybe 50 or 60 followers and I just randomly used it. But I didn't realize there was a whole world. Like, I knew what cosplay was, but I didn't know to an extent what it was, and that there's people that are so dedicated to it, and it's like an art form, and I'm like, this is really cool. Yeah. So I just had gone down this rabbit hole of Shazam cosplay to other characters cosplaying, which then actually led me to my personal trainer, Andrew Litomsky, who does a Thor cosplay at that point.
Very interesting, I tell you. Well, I'll tell you something. You know, I'm not the smartest bulb in the old drawer. I never heard of, was it cosplay? Is that what you're saying? I uh-huh. never heard that until just today. You've learned me already two things today. It's really big. It's so big, I have never heard it one time. No, it's unbelievable. You know, I'm not a young guy. I'm 65. I've been around the horn a long time and never heard that damn thing.
Blessings to you.
Son of a... Well, you know something? You know, go ahead. I don't want
There's to... actually a very huge Comic-Con in San Diego, which unfortunately didn't happen this year because of COVID-19, yeah. but there's a huge comic convention in your neck of the woods in San Diego. I don't know where you are. I think you're in Los Angeles, but San Diego has a huge comic book convention every year.
I'll be darned.
Really great thing to do. Absolutely. And there's a lot of people that do cosplay as like a health and fitness thing. There's something on Instagram called Quest of the Muscle Nerd, which is like a body. It's like bodybuilding meets cosplay, which I think would be something that would be very interesting.
That's hysterical because, you know, a lot of the bodybuilders you talk to them, they said that what they were interested or what inspired them were some of the comics that were mm-hmm. really built in it. They aspired to that look, you know, in a certain way. Interesting. Come on, Charlie. Don't blank Batman now. Oh, the one that we did. We talked
Dead
about.
End. You ever see Batman Dead End?
Batman Dead End. Did you ever see that?
No, I have not.
We had this guy on the podcast that was they had to almost stop Comic Con because this Batman fan film was so big. We just had him on here, Chris. I can't remember his last name.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was visiting Comic Con.
Okay, so it sounds like to me, again, I'm just making, I'm drawing assumptions here.
Go for it.
I'm trying to make up for my stupidity about not knowing about the ComCon or all that good stuff. But I would say that getting into what you got into probably saved your life in some way. Absolutely.
100,000%. I credit Andrew Litomsky, 100% my personal trainer, for saving my life. I know he always says, you know, you saved your own life. I totally understand that. And I do agree with that to an extent, but if it wasn't for him and his teachings, and if it wasn't for that drive that I had, and it was only fueled by his teachings and fueled by what he taught me,
yep.
I think I would, I honestly think I would have had a heart attack or had some sort of medical issue to where I wouldn't be here today.
Very well could have happened.
The way I was going, I think I would not, I would have, if I was still here, I'd have a lot of health issues. So yeah. Cosplay absolutely saved my life, 100%. I'm grateful for it.
You know what? I think we all have at certain times in our life, we have mentors that come into our life. I think somebody like Andrew, because obviously he was on the show, yeah. He was your mentor. You know, just like for me, what saved me was athletics. Because when I was growing up, I'll tell you how I got bullied. I had big lips, still do. But as a kid, my lips were really big, and I had like this Frankenstein forehead. And just like you said, people used to make fun of me, you know. But how I offsetted that was through sports. I became a very good athlete. And that kind of like trumped all the, you know, the criticism and all of, you know, all the fun they were making of me, because it really hurt. As you know, it hurts really deep. And yet, I don't know if kids really, you know, at that age, if they really realize how hurtful that really is, you know, maybe they do, but, you know, nevertheless, very hurtful. But sports and bodybuilding saved my life. So, you know, and I had mentors along the way. So you had that great fortune of meeting Andrew, but he's right about what he said about you. You had to be a part of that process to change yourself and make the person that you are today. If you didn't do that, then you would have gone right back to where you were, you know? Absolutely. So it's good that you found him, but it's also better that you took it upon yourself to make that critical change, because look, how long have you now kept your weight off?
I have kept my weight off a majority of it for at least about a year and change. I've gone as low as 200 pounds, which is about 97 pounds off. I've been fluctuating a little bit over the last few months regarding what's going on with COVID. So I gained about 7-8 pounds back, which I don't think is a huge big deal, but I've kept off at least 85 pounds of my weight loss over the course of a year. And I think that speaks volumes, because I feel like losing weight is the easy part. Keeping it off is the hard part, because it is very easy for you to go right back to old methods. If you haven't really learned, I can say honestly, the last 2 years of my life, I've learned more about myself than in the last 20.
Yeah.
And learning how strong I truly am as a person, and that I do have confidence and I do have a voice and I can absolutely use it to help people and to stand up for myself. I definitely think that's the biggest gift I've been given. And to be able to maintain a significant amount of weight loss, I think is a huge accomplishment.
Oh yeah, definitely is. And you're right. The hard part is keeping it off, you know? And okay. So Andrew takes you under his wing, and how did that relationship, you know, what has he done for you as far as being responsible for being able to keep it off?
I think, and the funny thing is, I'm based in Orlando, Florida, and Andrew is based in Canberra, Australia. So there is a huge, 7,000 to 9,000 mile difference between us. And we actually had never met in person until we met you over at the IMBA competition at the Rio.
Yeah.
So what happened was, I was inspired by Andrew just because of his own photos and his own journey. Like, Andrew was a chubby child, much like I was, and he took care of it into his own life. I mean, he looked just like Thor. And I'm like, this guy is incredible. And he has such a great spirit about himself. So I guess that was like the initial inspiration of like, wow, look at this guy and look what he did. And he's living out his dream and doing his thing. Why can't I do it as well?
Yep.
The thing with Andrew was that one of the big buzzwords and one of the big things he mentions is accountability, accountable. He has the Team Accountable page, which is our health and fitness group that all of his clients are together in. We, you know, share our stories, share our triumphs, successes, failures. Yeah.
All is that like a community?
We have an Instagram, we have an Instagram page, a group chat, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
We're working on other things as well, but we definitely check in with other people, other cosplayers. Some people are not into cosplay, some people are. But every week, especially in the initial phase, like within the first 7-8 months, we would talk, God, almost every day. I feel like it was through Instagram, or every week we have a Skype chat for about an hour or 45 minutes going over my week, what I ate, what tracking I had. He definitely implemented the tracking method for me, which is using my Fitness Pal to track my caloric intake and teaching me what macros were, teaching me what carbohydrates are, what fats are, what proteins are, giving me a workout routine, which like with like weightlifting and cardio and like understanding that it wasn't like a strict regimen, because that's not what he was trying to teach me, because right. I know a lot of people in the health and fitness world, I give bodybuilders so much credit because they have to be on their game from the get-go.
Yep.
And I respect the hell out of bodybuilders for that, because that takes a lot of commitment. And we had some of those practices in to where I had to remain accountable, not just to him, but to myself. Like, you can lie to your trainer. You can lie to other people. You can lie on social media. You can't lie to yourself. You know what the
truth is.
I knew if I was lying to him, I was lying to myself. So I made a promise to myself that if I messed up, I would tell him that I messed up. And yep. I think that the very first few months of me being very vulnerable and me being like, I have to trust this man.
Yep.
With my life right now, because this is for me. I had a lot of bad health results right before I met Andrew. I had high cholesterol, high blood pressure. I was diagnosed with moderate sleep apnea at 27.
Yeah.
I know this is dramatic, but for me, it was do or die. For me, I'm like, I need to take care of this now, or this is never gonna happen.
Yeah.
So I think having that mindset of, I need to take this seriously. I'm gonna trust this man. I'm gonna do what he says, and I'm gonna really learn from it. I think that's what really catapulted our relationship to where it is now, where it is someone that I look up to as a brother, as a mentor, as a friend, as a coach, as so many people, who has really opened my eyes to what health and fitness really is. And to me, a lot of people see this as a diet. I hear the word diet so many times. This is a diet. This is my diet, which is fine. But for those who have constantly lost weight before and those who are obese, I feel like the word diet scares the hell out of so many people.
Yeah.
I see this now as a lifestyle, as a new journey, as a lifestyle journey for me, that, you know what? You're not going to be perfect every single day. You're not.
Yeah.
I can be the first to admit I've had messed up days and weeks, but it's understanding that you can reverse it with the next meal, the next day, the next workout, and get right back into it.
And that's important, because what you're telling, you know, I've been in the personal training business forever. I've been had studios, still have one left. And one of the things that I've always run across with people is the hard part for them was always being accountable to themselves. And, you know, and once you start making that a priority, then the motivation has to be greater than the obstacle. And even with that being said, of those things, I think probably the most important thing is the discipline, because at some point motivation runs out. You have those days where you blow it. But if you have the discipline to hold yourself accountable, then you're right. You get right back on it again, you know, and just pick up. That's very smart. And I think the biggest thing that you learned in my mind was that accountability has to be there, and you have to be true to yourself, because you're right. You can lie to your trainer, but you can't lie to yourself. And I knew that already when I told my clients when they came in for a consultation, I said, look, I know exactly how many calories you need to take in. I know how you need to do your workouts. I know I can predict, because I was in the bodybuilding was my background at this point after 25. And as you know, you've mentioned it, we know how to produce and reproduce results at will when we really have this down. Okay. You know that. So I would tell my clients that I already know based on what your goals are, and the program that I put you on, I already know what kind of results you're going to get. If you don't get results, you either have a medical condition or you're lying to yourself. I would say that all the time. And you're exactly 100% right, you know. So let me ask you this. When it comes to learning how to weight train, did you do any weight training before you met Andrew, or was this all learned through him?
This was all learning through him. I understood what weightlifting was. With all of my previous weight loss, because I've attempted to lose weight a couple times. I was on Weight Watchers when I was 10 years old. I did Weight Watchers in college. And they never really taught you about exercise. They taught like the whole point system. And I don't want to throw any sort of like negativity towards Weight Watchers, because it works for some people. It just never worked for me personally. I gained my weight back. But I didn't know my way around a gym before I met Andrew. I was terrified of the gym because I was always afraid that the really fit muscle guys and the really fit people were going to judge me and that, you know, I was going to hate it. And it was painful the first few weeks when I went in, because I had done a couple of weeks of cardio before I met Andrew. We started training March of 2019 just because I wanted to save up some money. I wanted to make sure I had enough resources so that I can be able to fully go through with this with Andrew and not half-ass it, because I knew again that this was a wake up call for me.
Yeah.
So he gave me, and I still do weight training about 2-3 times a week for about 20-30 minutes in each of my workouts. They're mainly full body. There are some days where it's like arms and legs, but I had to learn how to use the machines. I work out at Planet Fitness, which I know some people are not a fan of Planet Fitness. Some people are. I've always found support and love through Planet Fitness. So I love going there. I love going, I can go anywhere in the country. I can work out, and I worked out in a Vegas one, in Colorado. Whenever I travel, when I go back home, I can go to any Planet Fitness with my card and go get a good workout in.
Yeah.
I definitely have found that weightlifting and like cardio and like just that hour in the gym. And especially even when during COVID, when we had the, when I do at home workouts and I walked, you know, in nature and, you know, enjoyed some of the fresh Florida air, it is a great time to kind of check in with myself. You know, I really enjoy that time that it's just me and some great music in my headphones and just trying to center myself. Yeah. Weightlifting is definitely, I'm not the best at it, but I also know the great benefit of weightlifting, that it does help burn fat. It makes improved muscle gains, all that good stuff. And I always, you know, Andrew always taught me, you know, you're not trying to go for like, as an example, he's, I always say, like, I'm not trying to be Lou Ferrigno. I'm just trying to be, not saying he isn't healthy, but like, I'm looking for a leaner version of myself. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not.
Right.
Bodybuilding's not my, and not in my wheelhouse. It's not what I want to do right now. It could change in whatever time. But I also know the benefits of weight training to where it will help me define muscle. It'll help me with a lot of my cosplays. I wear a lot of body suits and a lot of spandex. So spandex doesn't lie. It doesn't.
Right.
So it definitely helps. I'm sorry.
It's unforgiving.
It's very unforgiving. And I've had comments on social media about it, but I don't let that get to me because everyone has an opinion.
That's right.
I do know that weightlifting is super important alongside cardio, that they both work hand in hand. You got to have a good mix of both. You can't have, I feel like, one more than the other. I was mainly a cardio kid, but I've really have learned weightlifting definitely improves your not only your mental health, but your physical health. And I do it about 2-3 times a week now for about 20-30 minutes, like I said. And I do love it. I actually enjoy it now.
Yeah. You know, what's important in what you're saying is that, you know, that you don't want to be in the bodybuilding right now. And that doesn't make any difference. You have to have a stated goal and understand what you're trying to accomplish. And this is where Andrew came in to help you, I think, a little bit. Not that you didn't really know that, but I think he helped you with that. And I think that what the goals that you're trying to reach is just as important as the goals that a bodybuilder wants to reach. I think it's just as damn important. And so I applaud you for that. And there's no reason to think that, oh shit, I'm not bodybuilding, so I'm not really good enough. That's bullshit. What you did is amazing. And the fact that you understand that and that you're in your lane way where you need to be, that's the most important thing. Hugely relevant to you, and you know, again, I applaud you for that. The question that I have to ask you is that, because I think you're talking a little bit about it, you're talking about weight training and cardio, and one of the things that when you were working with Andrew, did he talk about the importance of, I'm assuming, nutrition as a part of that, those two things that you were doing? Because I always say it comes down to three components. Maybe a fourth, the fourth being the mindset or the mental techniques, but the three components that are responsible for changing you in the most efficient way, and you're hitting on them, is resistance training of some kind, cardio training, and nutrition. Those three things, in order for you to be the most efficient, and I'm sure that Andrew has told you this, is to incorporate those three things throughout a program, because that now you're working smarter instead of necessarily just harder.
Exactly. Andrew always tells me you can't out-train a crap diet.
Yeah.
And I think that's very true. Nutrition was absolutely one of the hardest things for me to overcome because I had an addiction to food and really crappy, greasy, nasty fast food pizza. I used to eat whole pizzas. I used to, my orders at fast food restaurants sounded like phone numbers. It was that big. It was bad. When you hit quadruple digits for your total at a fast food restaurant, you know you done messed up. And it's just for you. Like when my totals were like 15, 20 bucks, I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
Talk to someone. But I still struggle with nutrition 100,000% because I'm someone that I can see, like, for example, Andrew and a lot of other bodybuilders, they eat out of Tupperware containers. They have to have their chicken, their rice, their vegetable. I before me and Andrew, I hated vegetables with a passion. And that's a very strong word. The only vegetable I think I was getting was French fries. And those are not a vegetable at all. That's a Frankenstein sort of vegetable. But I think what Andy was teaching me was that it's okay to have that food every so often, but you want to minimize that and have it in smaller portions and definitely look at alternatives. I have never in my life in the past 2 years cooked in my kitchen as much as I have. And I love it now. Like I'm cooking like different types of proteins. Yeah. I make my own sweet potatoes. I make baked potatoes. I do different vegetables. Like I really enjoy salads. I didn't think I was a salad kid, but like I have done so many different types of salad, different types of vegetables to where I'm like, wow, I can have really tasty, healthy food and have healthier alternatives to where I used to eat. Right. Do I still enjoy fast food? Occasionally, of course. Do I still enjoy pizza? Occasionally, I still do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad thing, but I definitely would say I've cut at least 65 to 70% of what my old diet used to be completely out. I don't buy soda as much anymore in my house. I try and, you can see in the interview, I've been like going for the water quite a bit. Black coffee, teas, almond milk. I wasn't an almond milk drinker. I tried it with a protein shake. I thought it was fantastic. Like trying new different things, Greek yogurt, a lot of different new foods have entered my diet.
Yeah.
And I think it's absolutely really cool to have a new palate, to have trying new different things.
Absolutely.
And it was definitely over time because if we jumped cold turkey, I knew that people get, because I really see sometimes when people like try different diets and no offense to anyone who's Atkins or keto or Whole30, but Andy has always taught me to have a variety of foods and don't eliminate specific foods out of your diet, but to minimize it as much as you can. Because if I'm going to walk and say, I'm never going to have sugar again, I'm never going to have fast food again, that I'm just lying to myself.
You're setting yourself up for failure.
Absolutely. But
ultimately, I mean, it's impossible to do that. At some point, you're going to have a weak moment, you know?
Or several weak moments, a whole week. I don't know, but like, it definitely... And I was thinking about that before the podcast. I was like, what? I feel like I wish, and especially in our country as Americans, I feel like nutrition should be taught in our schools a lot more. I didn't know much about I barely was taught the food pyramid, and I still didn't understand what the food pyramid was. And I really think kids these days really need to learn more about nutrition. I think it needs to start from an early age on, because I think that would have helped me a little bit growing up, finding more about like what goes in your body and how, you know, I think I read a study in college one time when I was in psychology courses that children see an average of, I think, 200,000 commercials in their, like, between the ages of, like, 5 and 12. I might be completely off, but a lot of them are for sugary drinks, fast foods, sugary cereals. And when you're raised in that kind of environment and you see it all around you, of course, like, no one can sell broccoli to a kid, but you can sell a bowl of Cocoa Puffs really easily.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a problem.
Well, you know, in our society, I mean, it's kind of a, take a look around. You know, the Americans are, we have a problem with being overweight, and it's in part because of what you're saying.
One out of three, I think, is either over. I think it's one out of three is obese or two out of three. I
mean, One of the stats that I learned about was one in five have high blood pressure. Kids, high blood pressure.
Wow.
One in five.
You taught me something today.
Yeah, one in five, you know. One of the things, you know, there's what's been very interesting for me in my journey, because as a bodybuilder, you might understand that our bodies are basically our lab experiment. We try everything more than one time. And we fail a lot because it doesn't work. You know, we document and all this stuff, as you probably can understand. But one of the things that I learned about, and I also learned about this with training and from interviewing all the people that I have in my podcast, pro bodybuilders, there's a lot of ways to skin the cat, Andrew. Mike, I had a Biden moment. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat, okay? And here's what I've learned. And I just want to add this to what you're saying, because I appreciate the changes that you've made. But I'll tell you my take on this.
Sure.
My take on nutrition is I think it's all about numbers. I don't necessarily think that you're a product of what you eat. I think that you're a product of how much you eat or how much you don't eat, because both of those scenarios in extreme circumstances produce a negative effect. If you starve yourself too long, it ruins your metabolism. And of course, if you eat too damn much, because here's my philosophy is this. If I told you I'd put you on the cleanest diet that you've ever eaten in your life, and you would love it, but I had you eating 500 calories or 1,000 calories over your maintenance body weight, even though this is clean and healthy, what do you think would happen to your body? That's right.
Your weight goes up because of maintenance. And that's the thing I didn't even know. I didn't know what a metabolic resting rate was until I went to DexaFit. I work with DexaFit Orlando, which is one of my people that I met through Instagram. They taught me, like, they did DEXA scans, all that. I had no idea what a metabolic resting rate was, and that your body has a number, or it's through science, that there's a number you have to eat to maintain your body weight. I never knew that until I met Andy DexaFit.
So that's kind of my, you know, it's like, okay, don't get too hung up. I'm not sitting talking to you necessarily, but when I talk to people, because of those three components, the training, the cardio, and the nutrition, the hardest part is always, or most of the time, nutrition. People struggle with that component more than anything else. And they think coming in, you made a comment at the top of the show about diet being such a nasty word. And I agree with you. And, you know, but I tell them, I said, look, here's this idea of that you have to eat clean all the time. It's not reality. I'm telling you that right now as a competitive athlete, it's not. And the guys that are telling you that they eat clean year round, most of them are lying. There might be that freak out there that does that, but most of them are lying. They don't do that. We cheat. We have those days. But because we have so much knowledge in the way that nutrition works, we're able to get back really easily to get in the right path. I freaked out when I was first learning about this because I didn't know about nutrition before I got into bodybuilding. So when I lost weight, it was almost worse in some ways because I was panicked. I didn't really know how I could get back. And I was, you know, scared to death that I was going to gain this weight. That would freak me out because I didn't really understand how to get back. And what you're doing is learning to the extent that you're not going to ever have to worry about that. You'll be concerned that you'll maybe put on a few pounds, but you are going to understand, and you're starting to understand how to get yourself back and make it a lifestyle, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Let's take a quick pause to tell you about something you're definitely going to want.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief and the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Definitely. I can relate with that 100% because at my lowest, I want to say at the beginning of August, I was at 200 pounds. And I was this close to getting under 200, which would have been the first time in 16 years. I'm 29. But I haven't been under 200 since I was 14 years old. And unfortunately, things happen in life. We're going through a lot in our country, a lot with the global pandemic. And my job, a lot of stressors happened to where I fell into some old habits a little bit. And sure. Yeah, I gained about, as of like this morning, I gained about 10 pounds back. But I see it as this, and no, my trainer, Andrew, has never yelled at me. And I appreciate that in a trainer. I think a good personal trainer won't shame you if you make a mistake. Right. They will not shame you if you have gained a few pounds. If you know that, if you, the client, know, hey, I gained a few pounds because of X, Y, Z. It could be several different factors. I emotionally eat sometimes. I sometimes fall off the wagon. But I also know, and through this conversation, it's been a great reminder that I can get back to that 100%. I'm not going to wake up and be 300 pounds again overnight. Right. I would have to physically give up.
Right.
And take almost a year and change to gain all that weight back. And I don't think that's even in my system anymore. And I think that was the real change that I saw over the last like 6 months. Was like, I couldn't imagine going back to 300 pounds ever again. I couldn't imagine it.
That's a key right there. That's an important key, you know, doing that. And I will tell you this, and maybe Andrew has also told you this, some of this weight that you're putting on, because when you're losing weight, you know, there's no such thing as when, even if you're on a perfect diet, have enough protein, losing a half a pound or 1 pound a week, there's no possible way that when you're losing weight that you're only going to lose body fat. You're going to lose lean weight, muscle weight along the way. As a matter of fact, one in every 4 pounds that you lose, if you're doing things right, 100% right, is going to be muscle weight. So I would tell you, and what you need to do, and again, I don't know how much of this you're doing already, is you need to have the mirror and your clothes be a strong reminder as to how you're really doing. Because I'm going to tell you, the 10 pounds or 15 pounds that you're putting on is probably old muscle or that you lost along the way. Because muscle comes back first before fat does. So you might notice that in 10 pounds that you gained, you still fit just perfectly into your clothes, that it hasn't made a difference that way. Because you're putting muscle on. Muscle is very dense. So you won't see that. You won't see that for a while. So as much as I'm hung up on weight, it's more than that, actually. But I'm hung up still on the scale. To this day, I'm very hung up. When I see myself gaining 3 or 4 pounds, I have to be honest with you. That's like, oh, what the shit's going on here?
I definitely agree with that. 100%. Yeah. I do know that some of my 10 to 15 pound gain is water weight and glycogen, because I've had foods that were a bit more decadent and all that. Yeah. I will say, I remind myself, and I say it to a lot of my friends, a lot of my friends have reached out, and I'm so honored that so many people have followed me on my journey and have constantly inspired me and constantly have supported me. I'm forever grateful for that. They're like, well, how do you keep doing it? I'm like, yeah, I weigh myself daily because of fluctuation purposes. As part of Andrew's plan, I take an average of 7 days, and that's my weight for the week.
Right.
I always say to myself, if I'm in a bad day, I'm like, you know what? That number is just your gravitational pull to the earth. I can tell you a great moment I had is that sometimes I will go into JCPenney or a clothing store. I'll grab a set of clothes that I used to fit in. I still remember my old sizes. I was a 2XL, 3XL shirt and a 42, 44 jean. And I grab those clothes off the rack, and then I grab what my current sizes are. And I'm a 32, these are 32 size jeans, and this is a large t-shirt. And I hold it to the mirror and be like, you might be struggling with weight right now, but look at how far you've come. Exactly. And I can fit both my legs in my old jeans.
Yeah.
Exactly. I hold on to one outfit. I have one really big shirt and one really big pair of pants. I held on to that because I want to at least acknowledge that this is where you once were.
That's right.
You may have bad days. You may have bad weeks. And if anyone that listens to this podcast, if you're going through that, remember that it's only temporary. And every good battle, every good journey is going to have those struggle moments. And I have had those struggle moments. Yeah. I've had struggle episodes, honestly. Yeah. But it's worth it. I'd rather be going through all this trial and tribulations and ups and downs. I'd rather be going through this than laying on a hospital bed in open heart surgery.
There you go.
And then trying to save my life. I always tell myself, I'm like, you know what? I might be going through some mental health stuff. I may be going through shit. But at the end of the day, I'm glad I'm in my room or I'm out on a trail somewhere and I'm not on an operating table for them trying to save my life because I ate myself to death. I always try to remind myself. And that's a little extreme, but I try to remind myself. You know what? Always worse.
No, I don't think it is extreme. I think that's a really important to keep the perspective, you know, because again, your body's in total flux all the time. A lot of things affect it. You cannot do anything with your diet, but if you're stressing out, guess what? Your body's going to hold water. That's just the truth. And you have to, and that's the reason why my whole thing is the way that I keep myself somewhat sane is I'm all about numbers. I take my 7 days, like what you're talking about. And here's what the question that I ask, because it was very difficult for me to actually stay in shape, in the shape that I'm in now, when I didn't have bodybuilding, because bodybuilding and knowing that I was going to be up on stage was a strong motivator. It kept me in check. But then I came that day where I wasn't competing anymore. So here's what I did. After I was over, I asked myself, okay, how much do you want to weigh? And I wanted to weigh it just for the sake of being able to track. I want to weigh a certain weight. And then what I did is over a 7 day period, I went ahead and designed a diet according to my lifestyle and what I wanted to weigh. I am the person to this day, because I did it as a bodybuilder. I eat more strict Monday through Friday, and on Saturday and Sunday, all hell breaks loose. I've always been that way. Now, what I did is when I was setting up my nutrition program, I would take those 2 days and I always weigh my food because I wanted to see, I told myself, how do I want to eat? And I take a certain week and I would eat that way, you know, on the weekends, just really eating up. And I documented that. So there were so many calories I was eating on the weekend, which was about 24,000 calories. I usually eat, actually it's a little bit lower than that. I ate about 20,000 calories. Right now I'm eating actually 13,000 calories over the weekend. And so what I did is I worked backwards. I said, this is how I want to eat over the weekend, because I don't want to think about a damn diet. I don't want to weigh any food, but this is how I want to eat. And then during the week, my diet had to really be cut back in order for me to be able to maintain the body weight that I wanted. So the point that I'm trying to make is there's so many calories in a week that I need to eat to maintain my body weight and the look that I want. That's how I do it.
Absolutely.
A lot of ways to do that. You know, it's all about being accountable.
Definitely. That's what Andrew has definitely taught me, is that there are weekends where, because my metabolic, from what I remember, my metabolic resting rate is about 2,100 calories, I want to say, my bodybuild. And my target calories every day is 1,840.
Yeah.
So typically that's where about a 300 deficit each day.
Yeah.
I try not to obsess too much over numbers, but I like to use MyFitnessPal just because it gives me a good thought process.
Yeah.
Andrew made a good point similar to what you do, is that if I know I'm going to have a weekend where I'm going to be eating a little bit, I'm going to be eating out a little bit, or I'm going to be doing that. He said, you know, try and hit like 1,600-1,700 calories and maybe bank some of those calories towards the weekend, so you know you're going to eat more. He always recommended, like, during those days where I had crap food, he goes, make sure you do get a good workout in just to kind of alleviate some of the weight gain you're going to have. And I think that's a great tool. Is that I'm not working out to burn the food I just ate. I'm working out so I know that, you know what, I may have had some bad decisions in nutrition, but at least I'm trying to not have it a complete wash of a day. I at least did the workout. Not to excuse myself for bad behavior of food, but at least I did get a workout and I didn't just completely make the day a zero.
Absolutely. You know, you said something that reminds me of what I did. Where I struggled was traveling. When I was going to go to Italy or somewhere, I don't want to go there and not eat their damn food. I don't want to be on a diet. So you said something about banking calories. So what I did, Mike, is I would say, okay, I'm going to be in Italy for 4 or 5 days. Here's how many calories I want to eat when I'm in Italy. I really made it kind of high because I wanted to enjoy everything in Italy. They have great food there, by the way, in case you haven't been there.
Fingers crossed, I have not traveled outside of the country. I've traveled outside of the country, out of the United States twice.
Okay, so.
That's a hope one day, though, to go to Italy or to go to Australia, absolutely.
Yeah, so what I did is I started 3 months out before I went on my vacation, and I started banking calories. I used cardio as my banking calories. I would just count how many calories I was burning in my cardio, and I did extra cardio slowly, until I left for my vacation. Now, consequently, what happened is I dropped weight before I went to Italy. I went to Italy and I ate my ass off. And guess what? I came back and I was the original weight that I started before I went to Italy. That's how I did it, because that's what freaked me out. It's like, God, I just can't enjoy my vacation unless I can enjoy the whole thing, because food is important to me. I love to eat.
Of course. I mean, food's a good time. I have learned now that... that sentence, so from what I've learned, but I have stopped using food as a comfort. I mean, let me rephrase. We're going to try this again. 3, 2, 1. I still sometimes have food as comfort, but I think the big thing I've learned now is that food can sometimes be that, but its main focus is for primary fuel nutrition.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go on a cruise this fall with some of my friends, and I was using that similar strategy. I was like, all right, the 2 weeks before the cruise, I'm gonna try and up my workouts a little bit so that I don't go crazy. Because I did a cruise 3 years ago, my very first cruise ever. I just learned, I was learning how to swim. I was like, oh, I'm gonna go snorkeling. I was still fairly heavy. This was before I started the weight loss.
Yeah.
And I remember being in the middle of the ocean with a life jacket on trying to swim. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. All the weight loss happened. I'm like, I cannot wait. I'm going to go swimming.
I'm going
to go out by the pool. I'm going to look good. I'm going to go to the hot tub, all stuff. And my friend's like, well, how are you going to eat? Because I remember you used to eat a lot on that cruise. I'm like, well, I'm still going to enjoy my food, but I have to make sure I'm accountable during the before the couple weeks prior.
Yeah.
And during the cruise, I'm not going to say all hell breaks loose for me, but I'm also like, you know what? I'm just going to track whatever I eat. Just whatever I eat, no matter what the calories say, if I at least write it down, I feel accountable that I'm at least tracking what I'm eating. And I'm not like weighing food out or all that, but I'm at least tracking. That was my strategy, was I'm going to track everything that I eat and enjoy myself, but just a reminder not to go overboard.
Well,
but not to go crazy on vacation. I mean, but like I said, if I was in Italy, I want pasta.
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. No. Okay. All right. So here, now I want to know about now what kind of a, how do you, and who do you dress up as in your
cosplays?
Yeah.
Okay. My first superhero that I did, I started cosplaying in July of 2019. I'm making sure my years are right. July 2019, my very first superhero was Green Lantern. And I think that is someone I identify with. Beyond the cosplay is that I try and find something to relate to each character that I do.
Okay.
Green Lantern was my first one. And that's like willpower and, you know, finding your voice, like finding the light and all that. So I started cosplaying in July. I did that at a one-day con in Orlando. I was super nervous, super terrified, but because again, spandex doesn't lie.
Yeah.
But I really realized that not, especially in the cosplay community, no one is really looking at that. The people that matter don't really care what you look like, because cosplay is for everyone. You can look any way you want and be whichever character you want. Captain America did not come in, because that's how you met me, is that when Andrew was Thor, I was Captain America. He didn't come in until like late August, early September, and I've only used him a couple times. The last time I really wore him was actually probably at IMBA.
Yeah.
And for me, Captain America represents, you know, of course, patriotic, but also that he was an outcast. You know, I don't know how familiar you are with the movies or the comic books, but you know, he was a weak link at one point, and then he got the super serum and he became Captain America.
Okay.
And for me, I kind of went, I'm not saying I am Captain America, but I underwent a similar method to where I was a weak link, but I really became strong in my own sense. And I think I identify that story with Captain America. Plus, it just went well with Thor. I mean, it went well with what Andrew was doing for the event, because he said to me, he reached out to me in like a few weeks prior and said, hey, I'm coming to Vegas for this event. Do you want to come on as Captain America? I said, give me my plane ticket. I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
Yeah.
He goes, are you sure? I'm like, I will fly to Vegas and meet you. Duh. No question about it.
Yeah.
Other characters I've done, the recent one I did was Phoenix, Jean Grey, who's one of the X-Men. It's a female character, but there's cosplays where you can do a gender bent version, a gender swap version. I did Phoenix because I really identify with Phoenix's, you know, rising from the ashes. You know, I feel like I've been, in a way, reborn, resurged. It's a new Mike. It's a new way. It's a new life. And that cosplay has gotten a lot of positive and great attention through the cosplay community. And a lot of people do those gender bent versions. So I think Phoenix definitely has been that. And I've done other ones. I've done Robin. I've done Superman. I did Superman for Halloween this year, which was like a 12-year arc for me, because I wanted to be Superman for Halloween when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I was, again, very chubby. My mom said to me, you know, I just don't want the kids calling you super fat man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
So it was a 12-year arc in the making for me to be Superman for Halloween this year. And I did that. And I loved Superman very much. But Superman, Robin, Phoenix, Green Lantern, Robin, Captain America. I said Robin twice. I did Mr. Fantastic at one point. So I've got a couple characters here and there, both from DC and Marvel, but it's just people that I feel like that I can emulate and people that I can really identify with their story and their...
Well, I think it's important because it makes it authentic. Then at that point, you make it your own. And I was going to ask you, does it change your personality? Do you become this person other than Mike when you're dressed up like that?
A little bit. I'm not going to lie. I'm still wacky as can be, but with Captain America, I will make a good point. Andrew and I went on the Las Vegas Strip as Thor and Captain America. And I'm like, Andrew, I'm not sure, man. I've never done this. He goes, oh, it's going to be fun. I can't do an Australian accent to save my life. He's like, oh, come on, it's going to be fun. Let's go into the casino. Let's, you know, cause a scene. I'm like, I don't know. He's from Australia. I'm like, man, in America, we don't do that, man.
Right.
He goes, no, man, let's do it. So, like, I kind of had to adopt, like, a bit of a more of a heroic stance with Captain, because Captain America cannot be meek. He's very, you know, heroic.
Yeah.
So, I would say sometimes I develop a bit more of a personality when it comes to certain characters. I try not to be fake because I feel like that's when you read it. With Phoenix, which is the green and gold bodysuit that I wear, they're more of an evil, sinister kind of character. So I kind of get a little bit mischievous, but nothing too crazy. Yeah. So I would say I amp up my personality when I'm in cosplay, but my personality is already at like a 9 or a 10 out of cosplay. So you really can't go too much further up.
Right. Yeah. You're very outgoing. It seems like, you know, like for me, I, you know, when it came to my thing where it changed my personality was when I actually started doing public speaking, because I used to drop classes in college if there was any kind of oral presentation. I was really timid and shy about that kind of stuff, even though I was an athlete and all that. But I tell you what, and what I didn't know is that I was actually a pretty good speaker. And once I did that and I learned that, I was a different person when I was out there in public doing presentations. And I didn't know that about my personality because I was so closed down and so afraid of doing it. So I guess the point that I make is I learned something about myself and I became a different person. It was like I was not afraid of it at all, nervous, but nothing that held me back. And that's why I was wondering if, based on the costumes or the whatever you were wearing, if that changed your personality to fit that particular superhero, I guess.
Definitely, to a degree.
Yeah, I would think. Anyway, okay, so tell me, as we're closing down here, tell me where do you go from here? What's your next goal, challenge, if you have one? Where are you going now with all this stuff? Now you look fantastic. You've dropped all this weight. You're doing your superhero thing. And I know you're getting you want to work in the hospitality industry, but where do you go from here? And how does all this that you're doing now fit into that plan?
I definitely think cosplay has changed my personality to where I'm a lot more confident and I can be more of myself to not just my friends and family, but to my career. What lies ahead for me, my goal, I would like to see for my fitness goal, I definitely would like to shred a little bit more body fat off of me. I do DEXA scans with DexaFit Orlando, and I'm right now a little bit above 30% body fat. I like to get under that, maybe somewhere in the mid to upper 20s. I would like to get stronger, but become a bit better with my nutrition. I think there's always room for improvement. That's definitely one of my goals. I'd love to be under 200. I would think my weight goal for me is like 185, 190, and I'm right now at about 210. So another 20 pounds, I would say, is like my goal. I when I started, I had a huge like weight loss goal. Like, I need to hit this number. To me now, it's like, it's a nice goal, but like, I really want to shred body fat. I want to, continue my health and fitness journey and make sure my nutrition is a lot stronger.
Yeah.
For the rest of 2020, my plan is to graduate from UCF and Rosen at the end of this year with my master's. I'm looking to see if a new opportunity can come for that, either in Orlando or even out of Orlando, somewhere else in Florida, or maybe somewhere else in the country.
Yeah.
I still want to cosplay. I think it's been one of the best gifts that this whole experience has given me. So I do plan on still continuing cosplay. Hopefully some new characters can come out, continue to strengthen the characters I currently have. I want to someday, inspire. I've already inspired people as humbly as I could say that. I would love to one day have like maybe my own show or have my own platform beyond Instagram to share my story and to inspire. I would love to like do talks at like colleges and high schools and like middle schools and kind of inspire our future generations to take their health seriously and to really, find their own superhero inside, because everyone has a superhero inside of them.
I like that.
And I know that sounds so Hallmarky, Dawson's Creek, Touch of an Angel, all that. It sounds very cliche, but I've learned that every single person has their own superhero. Everyone does. You just have to find it.
And
over the last 2 years.
And then overcome fear to a degree, because it's painful and it's scary. There's no about that.
Absolutely. And I just said actually on social media prior to what's been going on is that I've learned that the biggest enemy in this whole thing is myself sometimes. Self-sabotage, self-saboteur. I've learned that It wasn't a bully in high school. It wasn't an event or playing victim or whatever. It's you at the end of the day. You have the power to change your life. And it does. You don't even need a grandiose scheme, like a grandiose big plan of, on this day, I'm going to do this. Like, I appreciate people that are New Year's resolutioners. I can appreciate that. But you don't have to wait for January 1st to come around. Like, even if you just literally go outside, go for a walk for an hour, and, you know, cook a vegetable for dinner and, like, try and make small changes at the beginning, small changes add up.
Yeah.
I think that's what I really want to teach people, is that you don't have to dramatically transform your life. You can do it step by step and day by day. You don't have to overhaul your life immediately. I would love to teach that to schools and to children and to anyone that wants to hear the story. I would definitely love to do that. I just really feel like I'm honestly living life to the fullest, more than I ever have in the last 2 years of my life. And I feel like the sky is the limit for what I can do now, beyond just health and fitness, but my career and just what I want out of life. I think I want more out of life than I ever have. And I am just truly grateful and thankful for this opportunity that I've been given. And I just want to continue on and just continue crushing goals and making dreams happen, making fantasies into realities.
Well, let me tell you something. You're that type of person that is, you have an infectious personality.
Thank you.
People are drawn to you. And I will tell you that there's a huge market, no pun intended. Maybe it was, I don't know. Maybe it's a Freudian, but there's a huge market that you're talking to. I'm basically have been in that market that you're in, because I work in my facilities. I work with the average person more than I do athletes. And I can tell you, I can assure you, there's a big group of people that you need to be talking to. And they need to be listening to you. So don't discount that. And I would say, make your show and the platform that you want, make that happen, Mike, because you're the right person for that. You tell a great story. I think people can relate to you. And you know, like my dad used to say, and Albert Einstein, maybe my dad was really smarter than I thought. You know, there's no better way to learn something than through firsthand experience. And you've done that. And you're proving that you're making this a lifestyle, and it's not just a one-off type of thing. It's a huge thing. And I will tell you this, and I got to know Andrew a little bit when I was, doing the podcast. There's probably no better guy that you could have found than Andrew. That guy has a really good energy, a great guy. I picked up on that right away. So I think you were very fortunate to find somebody like that. But you've taken it now, and you've run with it. And I myself am very proud of you.
Thank you.
And rock on, baby.
Thank you. Just to clarify real quick, or just to wrap up, I always firmly believe one of my mottos in life is, people come into my life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I definitely think Andrew Latomsky came into my life for an absolute reason. So I firmly agree with you on that. And I, like I said, I wouldn't be here without him.
Right on. I'm proud of you. Listen, the next time you want to come back on, when you have your show, or if you want to talk about anything, because sure. I think you're talking about really important stuff. You know, it's going to make a huge difference in people's lives. So anytime you have something that you breakthrough, or you're doing something new, please reach out to us. I'd love to have you back on.
I would greatly appreciate it. And thank you so much for the opportunity. It really means a lot. So right on. I really appreciate the time today. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, man. You take care of yourself. We'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you. Take care.
Ciao. Bye.
Thanks Bye-bye. For listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.